Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study of Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, The Lord Repented. The conclusion of this two-part study, along with all of our other free materials, our contact information, and donation information, all can be found at our website, bbfohio.com. As we begin with a current events update, and then our study of Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, titled, The Lord Repented. This is part 1 of 2.
The current events update. Number 1, I call the traitorous 10, are down to 4. You know, there were 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump based on complete lies. And so that's what we call them, the traitorous 10. There's a picture of all of them. Kinzinger and at least one or two other ones. I think Gonzalez in Ohio, a great wide receiver for the Ohio State Buckeyes, a complete disappointment as a representative. They said they're not going to run again. It was last night in the primaries, this guy in the middle top, Meyer is his last name. He was primaried and will not be running in November. And so we're down to 4 remaining of the traitorous 10. Up in the upper right, the Republican Hillary, named Liz Cheney, is down by about 40 percentage points last I checked. So she's probably going to get beat. What's David Maladeo? I'm not even sure anything about the remaining 3 other than that. So we'll keep an eye, just playing a little tic-tac-toe here as we watch them fall. Number 2, the woke crowd. We talk about them a good bit. But they're basically godless people with no purpose in life. You can find woke people. Why do I say godless? Well, woke means that you're godless. That's what the word really means. It's not anything new. They just put a new word on it. Woke means you think it's okay to kill babies. Woke is you love Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, woke is you're basically a godless Marxist. You're Darwinian, etc. And so that's just a new name. Brad Pitt shows up to the his new movie called Bullet Train premiere wearing a skirt. Actor Brad Pitt offered a bizarre explanation for why he recently wore a skirt to the Bullet Train premiere in Berlin, Germany. I'm going to quote him in full here. He said, "I don't know. We're all going to die, so let's mess it up." Well, you know, that's eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. You know, that's the godless, heathen attitude about life. Jeremiah the prophet described the godless of his own day this way. Jeremiah 18:12, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." That's a definition of woke right there. Amen. That is the definition of woke. Mark that in your Bible, though, Jeremiah 8:12. It's one of the most ignored Bible verses in your Bible, and yet it's describing our generation. This present generation. And we're going to see more and more of this. And all these guys out in Hollywood that play these macho parts in the movies, in real life, a lot of them are queers. I mean, and that's nothing new. You remember Rock Hudson? Perry Mason? What's the guy, Raymond Burr, who played Perry Mason? Gomer Pyle?
Yeah, Jim Neighbors?
Who are some of the other? He even said, who'd you say, Janie?
Jim Neighbors.
Oh, that's who you said? Was it Clark Gable? They claimed was. Grant Paul and the Waltons? Well, so was Grandma. Grandma and Grandpa.
How queer.
Huh?
How queer.
Number 3. Selection code. I mentioned this before. How many of you remember that? Remember me mentioning this? It's coming up. The Stolen Election documentary premieres in about 2 weeks. It's the work of a fiercely independent journalist named Laura Logan. It's a name I would get to know unless she flip-flops and goes crazy. Right now, she's one of the only real journalists out there.
Laura?
Laura Logan. That's what she looks like. And the movie is called Selection Code. Here's the trailer.
Local criminal investigations into Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters' alleged voting machine security breaches continues.
If I asked you this question before the 2020 election, are these voting machines secure?
I would have said yes.
And after the election?
I would have said yes.
What changed?
Tina Peters admits she brought in a consultant to make a forensic copy of the Dominion voting system in Mesa County.
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Voting machines in Georgia and Texas switch votes from one candidate to another.
Virtually every machine was broken into.
Ballot recording machines.
Voting machines.
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 Voting machines.
Voting machines.
Machines.
Machine.
Machines.
Machines.
Machines, which are vulnerable to being hacked.
There is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections.
We've seen no evidence that any of our voting systems have been tampered with.
The November 3rd election was the most secure.
It was the most secure.
Most secure.
Most secure election
in American history, period.
The process is very secretive.
These machines are built by private companies, which we don't have a right to know what goes on inside those.
What did you see during the software update?
We've uncovered something that they're afraid of.
We didn't consider the machines.
The information found there is the Rosetta Stone.
They made a mistake and left the evidence in the machine.
And you can hide it as well.
It's only what the programmer tells it to say.
It's literally like the difference between going from pickpocketing to credit card fraud.
These people are being selected, not elected.
It's about who gets to count the vote.
They break down my door, terrorize my family.
FBI, federal search
warrant. What do you remember?
Just my mom being handcuffed by the chief of police.
This is not what we do in America.
You could make it all go away, though. You just keep your mouth shut. You could have your life back.
Can't unsee what I've seen.
They had to move it back. It's actually 8:20. So what's today, the 3rd? So it's in 17 days. Selectioncode.com. Just look it up online. August 20th is when it premieres. And then I think on the 22nd, if you just put in your email address that signs you up for emails, then they send you a free digital copy that you can watch. So I'm not sure what day the 22nd's on, but whatever day that's on. And you can expect an all-out slanderous assault on Laura Logan's reputation in person.
Yep.
So just watch. And I'll say this too before we get in questions, comments. I can only speak for myself. I believe that we're in the last days.
Amen.
Well, if you believe that and you believe the Bible, then that doesn't surprise you. There is a complete global takeover of every level of society.
Amen.
And anybody who looks at what's going on in the world today and denies it is just an idiot.
Yes.
Or a liar. Not everybody's an idiot. Some are liars. But if I don't care who it is, your best friend, your mother and your father, your grandparents, your coworkers, your neighbors, it doesn't matter who it is, if they cannot admit that our public school system is completely run by wicked left-wing sodomites,
yep,
that the National Education Association is controlled by wicked Marxist sodomites, that our news media is controlled by wicked leftist sodomites, that our government agencies are filled with unelected bureaucrats, and no matter who gets elected, most of those people maintain their positions, especially in the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and our military now. They're all controlled by leftist, Marxist sodomites.
Yep.
And in entertainment,
yep,
music, you can't even get published if you're not a leftist, Marxist sodomite. And when I say sodomite, it doesn't mean you actually engage in sodomite sex. Romans 1:32 talks about those who have pleasure in them that do them. So you're an ally, is what the country calls you. The title is The Lord Repented. Amos 7, 1-9. The Lord repented. We'll see it in our text. The book of Amos closes with visions of the future in these final three chapters. We're coming down to the last three chapters of Amos. Visions of the future. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9 in Amos 7. I'm going to ask you to read the odd verses with me. So that means you start with me right there in verse 1. Thus hath the Lord... Wait a minute. Are you going to read with me?
In a sec.
In a sec? Okay. I guess, well, who am I? You know, I'll wait till you're ready.
Sorry.
Amos 7, 1 to 9?
Okay, go.
All right, verse 1, start with me. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this, it shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Amen? So verse 1 begins saying, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers, etc. I just want to address this because new versions and many teachers will correct the King James Bible and claim that grasshoppers should actually be locusts. Well, it's free country. They can have that opinion if they want, but it's not a statement of fact. Anytime you hear these guys say, well, a better translation would be, just ignore it. But we'll give you some explanations for these things when they come up. Now, I've got a question for you. Would a swarm of grasshoppers do great damage to grasslands? And that's what is described here. Now, there's no historic record of exactly this exact event. So we don't have anybody even in history saying, well, it actually wasn't grasshoppers, it was locusts.
Yeah.
So based on what do they say that grasshoppers should be corrected to locusts? Well, most people you hear say that just because they read it in a new version. That's what they base it on. And that's not a good reason. But here's just a little scientific information to back up what the King James Bible says here. This is from Medowaya, I pronounce that. Well, close. Here's a close-up. That's what a grasshopper looks like, by the way. And here's the statement. Grasshoppers are predominantly herbivores, though some will eat other insects and feces. When given a chance, grass is a significant component of most grasshopper diets, though many will also eat flowers or other vegetation. So I ask you, if one grasshopper will eat grass, what will a million do?
Eat all the grass.
And that's what our text is saying. By the way, if you do look it up in Strong's, it does say that the word translated is like gob, is how you say it. And that word can be and is translated sometimes locust. But it's also translated grasshopper. And so according to Strong's, there's no reason to correct your King James Bible.
Amen.
This word is translated locust or as grasshopper, when your opinion contradicts our King James Bible, we will stick with our Bible. Amen? So with that, we'll just continue on. He formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth, and lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. What that is telling you is that the latter growth, which would normally feed the king's cattle, they had the early and the latter, L-A-T-T-E-R, latter. And the early was used for different various other reasons, but the latter growth would feed the cattle. Well, what happens to cattle if they don't eat?
They die.
And what happens to Texas Roadhouse if there are no cattle?
They close.
Those luscious, juicy, medium steaks that I eat.
There's a supply chain issue back then. Right?
Yeah. There's always going to be a supply chain problem when people turn against God. And the Bible says all the nations forget God will be turned into hell. Well, that happens kind of in stages, and one of the stages is you lose access to meat. You go back to the Great Depression era, and there's still some people alive. My grandmother can tell you that it was a real treat to ever have meat during a Great Depression. And that's what he's saying is going to happen here. The lost would devastate the food market. Because when you don't have meat, you also then double up on and triple up on vegetation. Well, if it's destroyed, then you're not going to have either, right?
Yeah.
It's like the T-shirt says about vegetarians, quit eating my food's food. John?
Yeah. My grandmother, my dad's side, would save the bacon neighbors so they could have a taste of meat.
Yeah, well,
that's how bad it went back to hell.
And that's we still do that to put.
We don't give it to the neighbors.
Yeah, we don't share it. But you make she makes bacon with my eggs and then puts the bacon grease in the green beans.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
But there are a lot of people who have never done that kind of thing because they're so spoiled and prosperity spoiled them, and so they don't think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we know how to do it because our great aunts and uncles and grandparents and such lived through the Depression, so they just kept doing those kind of things, and so that's where we learned it. So verse 2, and it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. So this is intercessory prayer by Amos. I don't know about you, but I can't stand American culture today. And by relation, I really can't stand most Americans. I love them. I think it's just the way God loves them. God can't stand them. The Bible says He hates people like that. That's what the Bible says. Many times, we quoted it, I got a whole article. The God who hates loves you. Why? Because He hates sin. He hates the wicked. Those are the words of the Scriptures. But He also loves everyone enough to come in the person of Jesus Christ and die for their sins. Willing to save any one of them who repent. And so that's similar to how I feel that we are justified in feeling about this world. I look at this drag queen story hours and sodomite pride parades. I look at people who are just very nasty, generally. People who run little ladies off the road the way they drive. You name it. I am disgusted by it. But I'll preach the gospel to them. Why? Not only because God told me to, but, if you love them enough to do that, you love them better than their own best friends. Their own friends are probably not preaching the gospel to them. You're loving them better than their own best friends by telling them how they can repent and believe the gospel and be saved. But there's a good result of that. If they get saved, they'll stop acting that way. Hey, you want to, I believe that, you know, you just like the abortion thing, there were a lot of professing Christians who voted for pro-choice people in the past. And I believe a lot of those people became educated on what abortion was and stopped voting for those people. And that helped us get Roe v. Wade overturned. But it didn't happen because of political activism. Righteousness happens when the gospel is preached and people are saved. Less babies will be killed. Pride events will shrink in the number of people in the parades and the people actually there watching it. Everything will dwindle when it comes to wickedness when the gospel is preached and people get saved. Well, that's our role, but it's also our role to be like Amos and pray for these people. That's why we do. You've heard when we do our prayers, we go offline and we go through time of intercessory prayer. We pray for lost souls. Amen? You got somebody, you know what? You ought to think about who do I despise more than anybody? And pray for them. I know if Mark were here, he'd say, Joe Biden. And I've prayed for that man because I despise him.
Amen.
And there's a bunch of those politicians I prayed for because I despise them. And man, can you imagine if they get saved? The change. It's like Zacchaeus. The change.
Amen.
And that's what Amos is doing on behalf of Israel in response to this devastation by grasshoppers. Amos is pleading to God for Israel on Israel's behalf. And that's all we can do as the world marches toward destruction. You can pray for them, present the gospel, and that's about it. And that includes your Laodicean professing Christian loved ones. The ones that profess Christ but live like the world. You pray for them, lovingly confront them, and then leave it up to them and the Holy Spirit to work on their hearts. Verse 3 then says this is one of the most astounding verses in the Bible. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Now, whole segments of theology deny that this can happen. You know, their excuse for a lot of them, they can't figure out, well, how can God be omniscient? Know everything, including the past, present, and future, and then do something and have to repent. And my first answer is, you know, compared to God, your brain is about the size of a flea. So trying to figure out God is a real bad goal in life. If you set your goal to figure out God, you've already gone off the deep end. What we can do is believe what the Bible says about God, and then we try to put it together as best we can. But there are some things, I'm telling you folks, you're not going to understand. He's God. He's beyond our comprehension. Johnny?
I heard it described or something similar. It makes me think of the idea of if you disagree with the smartest man in the world, is it more likely you're the one who's wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have I know among Calvinists this is prevalent, where they basically say God doesn't repent, and they'll come up with all kinds of explanations for this. Now, it's all in the context. Context is what matters. We're going to come back to this because it happens again in the next three verses. Verse 4 says, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part." Now, this is both literal and symbolic. It's just the way it works out. There was great dearth and drought, and that resulted in great fires. We see that today. For the last several years, California just is on fire half the year. Drought and the climate change cult that won't allow them to clean out the old brush and everything. There's a word for undergrowth. And because they don't clear out the undergrowth and the drought dries everything out, they also get as much or more lightning than anyone. And then there's the careless campfires, and then there's the firebugs, you know. But between all those different causes, massive fires take place. Just so happens that California is one of the top three most wicked states in America and probably one of the top three most wicked areas in the world. So it's no surprise that it happens. And that's what happened here. And so along with that came the fire of God's judgment. A lot of people died. There was a lot of famine, a lot of suffering as a result. Then verse 5 says, "Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small." So again, Amos is praying for them, interceding on their behalf to the, this time, the devastation by fire. And again, the Lord is merciful. And verse 6, read that with me. "The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God." Now, does the Lord repent?